Hello and welcome to the True Blue LA podcast. I'm Jacob Birch. With me, not just Eric Steven. Eric, we have someone with us.
What? When
it's behind you.
Yeah. We figured end of season blowout. We're going to talk about the all 60 game season and what happened and all that. And with us, we're going to have the first ever live questions from Craig because Craig Minami is with us.
Is it the first? Hi, have we not done this before? Craig, have we done this before?
I have been on one or two in the past, but it's been a little while.
And I can't remember if there were actual five sort of. It was certainly if it.
Oh, I've not done questions.
All right,
Eric,
you're right.
I've not done questions. Right, this is the first time. Yeah,
I was going to say too. There certainly wasn't a theme song.
That is true.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. So it'll be a little weird doing the theme song when Craig's joined us the full episode, but we're going to do it anyways. We're going to focus on the regular season. We're going to have a playoff preview episode a little later, but we've a lot to talk about. We're going to review the bets Eric and I have made throughout this season, including before we knew it was a 60 season, so that'll be fun. Obviously, we have the live questions from Craig. All of that after this.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Dodgers end the season with a basically meaningless sweep of the Angels. There was an outside shot. The Angels could have gotten in, and the Astros wouldn't have made it. That didn't happen. And the Dodgers looked good then this season.
There was like this weird thing, because the Angels have been bad all year, mm-hmm. and they like played pretty well the last like 3 weeks or so. And they were actually still alive like entering Friday night. Which was amazing. It mostly because the Astros have been bad too, but like the Angels going into the weekend, they needed to sweep the Dodgers, which, you know, come on. But then also they needed the Astros to get swept by the Rangers. And then it looked like they had like fate on their side because the Rangers were down to their last strike on Friday. They hit a game tying home run and then won it in extras. So the Angels got like new life. But then they went and lost to the Dodgers, and it was like, oh, season's over. And then they just sort of, like, deflated, and then they fired their general manager after Sunday's game after getting swept. So, but, like, yes, it was meaningless, but then if you look back, like, I can remember, like, the decade and a half or whatever it was of the Dodgers, like, never beating the Angels, like,
yeah.
Seemingly. So, like, they went 6-0 against them this year. Like, you'll take it, like, pretty much any time. But, yeah, that's – We're not here to talk about the Angels. No, I'm just kidding. So they clinched. I forgot. I guess we recorded last weekend before the Dodgers clinched, and they ended up clinching on Tuesday, clinched the division. So it's 8 straight. The Dodgers won 43 games, which is pretty ridiculous. I'm opening this up for both of you, but I'm going to ask Craig first because I think he probably knows. Craig, do you know what was the last Dodgers team to start 43-17?
I did look that up. 1974?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's the only other LA team to go 43-17.
Shocked, you didn't think I would know that.
That's why I went to Craig. I knew you would know. That's why I went to Craig.
Thank you. All right. Yeah, good. So, I like it.
So there's three other Brooklyn teams that did it, like including a couple better ones, but. But the funny part to me, so before, like, this season is weird because, like, everybody makes the playoffs. And so the Dodgers, like, clinched a playoff spot before they clinched the division, which doesn't always happen in normal times. So I remember asking Dave Roberts, and he's like, you know, we're going to celebrate every step of the way. It's an accomplishment. And then when they clinched a playoff spot, like, hardly anybody knew, like, when it happened. And then they're like, oh, I guess we clinched a playoff spot. And they didn't really do much. And then when they clinched the division, like, so on Tuesday, the Dodgers needed the Padres to lose and them to win, the Dodgers to win. So at, like, Robert said, like, at some point in, like, mid-game, he said probably half the team didn't realize the Dodgers had a chance to clinch that night. And also, like, what are they doing? They're just like, first of all, they don't read True Blue LA, because we had a post on the front page, like, sort of counting down the magic number and all that. But, yeah, and then Bob Guerin was going around reminding people, and then once the Padres score came in, they knew exactly, like, at that point. But it was just funny to me, like, that I guess they're focused on actually playing, but, like, it's weird to me that they wouldn't have known they had a chance to clinch that night. But, yeah, that was sort of a thing. Did you end up watching any of the games or any the clinching game, Jacob?
I watched all of this week, more or less off our most of it. Now and then I had to turn it off because there was a baby crying. Yep. But, yeah, no, it just kind of looked – the season in general, like, I'm – one of the weird things about the 60-game season is you – kind of learn to weather the ups and downs of a season, and the Dodgers kind of had that offense sort of sputtered to start the season, and then it stopped, and then since game 15 or whatever, it's kind of been the same game in and game out
pretty much. I guess does the downs qualify as
like losing the bullpen a series kind of work? Yeah,
losing a series to the Rockies and that's their only series loss. Like, looking back, you're like, that's terrible. Craig, did you end up watching the clinching game or like most of the stuff this week?
Yeah, I did. I mean, there was another team playing in our sport that would kind of with the Lakers, but I did watch, and it did seem like the weekend in Colorado certainly helped them, you know, regain their power stroke as they came back home, and thought they played really well. And certainly, I think a highlight was Walker Buehler, probably for the week. Probably, I guess maybe that was the most important thing, was seeing how well Buehler pitched the other day.
Yeah, because he didn't pitch. It was like a little over 2 weeks, and then he had the blister, and then they did a simulated game. So he only was going to have one shot, like to have a major league game as a tune up for the postseason. And he looked great. They only pitched him for 4 innings, but like he was really great. And like most importantly, I guess his finger's fine. So he's actually starting game one, Kershaw in game two. That series doesn't start till Wednesday. We're going to preview that later on this week. Just a couple of notes on the season for the Dodgers. They led the majors in runs scored for the first time since 1974. Same thing for home runs. They haven't led the majors in home runs since then. They did it this year. They've led the National League in runs scored and fewest runs allowed and home runs for the last 3 years. I think they're the first team to do that. There was something earlier in this year about that. I don't know if any other team did those three things in the same league. So that's pretty cool. But what we want to get to is all these like various bets. Most, I would say, 85% at least are these stem from questions from Craig throughout the year. So we're going to just sort of review the ones that I was able to keep track of. Plus, I think I missed a couple. But yeah, do we want to just start at the beginning here?
Sure.
All right. So back in January,
Oh, what a time.
it is funny to look back on this because, you know, these are like, you know, normal, no one would think twice about asking something about like a full 162 game season, 'cause you take that for granted. So Craig, you asked us, I believe, because at that point, the Dodgers had David Price was new. Or wait, did they even trade for David Price at this point? I don't remember. I don't remember.
I don't think so. I think this was before David Price.
But yeah.
Because afterward, I think.
Oh, but it was Kershaw, Urias, and Wood, right? So that was like the thrust of this question. So you said you asked us to like peg like a range of how many starts Dodgers left-handers will get. And I believe both Jacob and I settled on they will get at least 50, but I believe your upper limit was more than 61. I forgot why, looking back on it, but we both said they wouldn't get to 61. So we had the same range. We almost nailed it. It's technically a loss. The Dodgers had 24 starts, including two bullpen games, which really shouldn't count, but including today, Victor Gonzalez. But over a full season, that's a pace of 65. so it's technically over. So that counts as a loss for us, but that's going to be par for the course on a lot of these. But in a rare thing, it's both Jacob and I got it wrong. A lot of these I just got wrong. Jacob got a few wrong, but I did not come out very well on these.
I want more. Tell me more. Tell me more about how I was right.
So Chicago teams, I believe, if I remember right, this was a question more like a general question, and we sort of picked part of it out just because of the way we were like talking about it, I believe. And I said the Cubs will have a better record than the White Sox. The White Sox were obviously one of the like off-season darlings because they actually spent money, which is sort of rare some these days. And this is before the the pandemic hit. So I said the Cubs will have a better record than the White Sox. It did not work out that way. The White Sox ended up with 35 wins. The Cubs with 34. The Cubs won their division. The White Sox finished, I believe, in third in their division, seventh place. So, or seventh seed in the American League. So I lose that one as well. There was a Super Bowl bet. I believe this was after the Super Bowl, or maybe I can't remember if I went back and added the 49ers point total in. I don't remember the timing of it, but the over under was, or the prop bet was, which will be higher, the 49ers point total in the Super Bowl or Golden State Warriors wins. So not baseball related at all, but still just nailing the wrongness of this. But I actually got this one right. So I said the Niners would score more than the Warriors would win. The Niners scored 20, and then the Warriors ended up 15 and 50. So they didn't get to go to the bubble because they weren't good enough. But even if you extrapolate their record out to 82 games, it's 19 and 63. So I'm counting that as a win. I don't know, Jacob. Do you want to take the next one?
So we had you're going to have to help me with the seasonal correction, but
yes,
Dodgers. This is the catcher's question, right? Sorry, page Swift dummy.
Yes.
How often would the Dodgers carry three catchers before September, with the record being in 2003? You had 20 games.
So I believe there were I don't remember the exact range of this, but I think Craig asked something around this range, like would they have three catchers catch 20 games? I said yes. Oh, this was before September. Jacob, in my notes I put here, well, not on none of these notes, but you said they would would catch like 5% ish of the games. So you had seven games.
Okay.
So like there's normally like almost 140 games before September. So that was sort of, I think that was sort of where the range was coming in. So you guessed that a third catcher would have about three times, or I guess three times more playing time than you did. Much higher on the chances of like Caber Ruiz having a longer stint. Caber Ruiz did come up, but in a 60 game equivalent, my guess was five games and your guess was two games, and Caber Ruiz played two games behind the plate. So now,
we made that one not knowing a DH, not knowing there wouldn't be September call-ups.
Yeah.
And not knowing it'd be 60 games. So that's a fun one.
The next one too is very DH centric. And the bet was made like well before any of this happened.
So it's how many Dodgers would have 400 plate appearances? So what's the equivalent is 150 plate appearances.
Yes.
To convert it. And we each had Smith, Muncy, Turner, Seager, Lux, Bellinger, and Betts.
So we each had, we shared those seven. And only got five of them. Where I differentiated this was we each guessed eight players. I had Jock Peterson, Jacob had Chris Taylor, and you nailed it. Jock didn't get there. Will Smith didn't get there. Gavin Lux didn't get there. AJ Pollock did get there, so we both missed on that one. But yeah, I'm giving you the win on this one because you foresaw Chris Taylor would be playing well enough to get all sorts of playing time, and so you deserve full credit.
We were asked to guess which Dodger would play highest in the awards seasons, and we said Gavin Lux for Rookie of the Year.
So clear. It was like, obviously, like, look, Mookie Betts could come in and win the MVP, but, like, if you're going to bet on one, it's clearly going to be Lux for Rookie of the Year, but nope, like, yeah.
It's, not a season he's gonna look back on too fondly. Hopefully next season. A full season next season.
So I don't even think I look back on this because I wanted to like look in. I can't remember the wording of this. The reason I didn't include it on here, but what I guessed that Betts would be the next Dodger to win the MVP. Where you guessed Corey Seager,
yeah.
But specifically you guessed 2021 for Corey Seager. But I was trying to look, like, did we both say Betts was going to win the MVP this year?
No, I feel okay. Like I said that he would win it in like 2022 or something like that. But maybe I'm wrong. I do vaguely remember this. Yeah.
Whichever
is more right, that's what I said.
Game one of the Dodgers Brewers series, this just came out, is 7:00 Pacific on Wednesday. Ugh. There's no other game times yet. So.
All right.
Gross.
Yeah, 9 my time. That'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a late start time. 7:00 for playoffs is weird.
Yeah. Moving on, we had anyone with 52 pinch hit plate appearances.
I believe that was based on what last year's total was.
Right.
I said
was that made before or after DH was announced?
It was before.
Okay.
It was before the pandemic, so I got totally screwed.
But I still knew. I foresaw, and I another one that I got it right.
Yeah. The equivalent of that is 19 plate appearances. Kiki came close or closest with 10. I was way off on that. I'm doing badly on these predictions, Jacob.
I think you got the next one right.
Hmm. Oh, so this was opening day roster. We did like a pretty good job generally of this. And it's just funny because I think like right away, this was before Jimmy Nelson ended up having back surgery. We're just both like, well, he's clearly going to start the season in the IL. And so we had him like not making the opening day roster, but we had Brusdar Graterol making it in his place, which, you know, sort of, let's just say it happened exactly that way. And then we both had like our differing player on the opening day roster was Adam Kolarik for you and Scott Alexander for me. And we're both right. So that's like a win-win all the way around. So we clearly nailed that one.
Right fielder, Adam Kolarik.
That's right. Oh, yeah, he played 2 innings in right field today because there are no 40-man September rosters. So the Dodgers needed someone to play the outfield, and they said, you do that.
You nailed the next one. Which position player would have the highest war? You said Mookie Betts, and I said Cody Bellinger.
Yep. Fangraphs war, I'm sorry, no, baseball reference war was 3.4 for Betts, 1.4 for Bellinger. Mookie actually led the National League in Fangraphs war, unless someone had like went off today. I didn't look. But Bellinger was fifth on the team. Like, he struggled a lot like at times this year. But actually, if you think about it, like a 4-win season as being a bad season, like that's fine. Like he's doing fine. The other one that like I didn't count a win or a loss, it was one of these like just put a percentage on it. This was back during the pandemic when both sides were still fighting and no one was really close to a deal. I said 83.7% chance we will have a 2020 season. So in one way I was right in that I favored we would, but like I was also 1 in 6 wrong, so like who knows how you count that. I don't even know.
Which Dodger would have the first multi-hit game? I said Justin Turner. You said Corey Seager. And it was Kike Hernandez.
Yep.
And it was all downhill from there.
I would say you had a great game opening day and then not much else after. He was actually okay the last couple weeks.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously always very valuable with flexibility and defense.
They don't play the Jays just yet. So the Dodgers, how many different Dodgers with a hit? This was much later on, closer to the season. So we had an idea of the length of the season here. I said 19 players. Jacob said 18. It was 16.
Sure.
Let's why not?
Will Gavin Lux be called up in 2020? You said yes. I said no. I was wrong.
Yeah, I was technically right
in just in how kind of was. Did he really play this season? I don't know. He had some.
Yeah.
He had some home runs. We're fine.
Yeah, it was all right. And then we were both, I think, a little off on which pitchers would have 8 strikeouts per 9. I said, I think this was of the non-Kershaw Buehler. I said Urias and Gonsolin will. Gonsolin at 8.9, Urias 7.4. You said Dustin May, which if you think about it, the guy throws like 100 at times. Like, why doesn't he? But he throws a lot of sinkers and ground balls, and they swing early. So he ended up with 7.1 strikeouts per 9. So he did strike out 5 in 4 innings today. So he was trying to help you last minute. But I think that's sort of both a loss for both of us. But
or a win for both of us.
We will end on a win because I look back on this. I believe the Dodgers had 30 wins at the time. And they were far enough out magic number-wise to, like, try to guess this. But Craig asked, what's the Dodgers' win total when they clinch the division? And we both said 39, and they clinched it on Tuesday with their 39th win. So we pretty much nailed the season, I think. Yeah, that's how
every single one winners I got. I was better than you, though.
Oh, no question. Okay. You like, probably by a 2-to-1 margin.
But that said,
go ahead, Craig. I do have one last bet. that was solved this weekend. I asked how many total home runs will the Dodgers hit this season, and that was about 2 weeks ago.
And
I think if I'm right, Jacob said 113, Price is Right style,
mm-hmm.
and Eric said 115. Eric said like 115, or it was something. Eric picked a higher number, and it was still less than the total, which I think is 117. So I think Eric has won that one.
I think it might even have been 118 because AJ bought his second home run.
And just I think their home run total was about equal to their 162 game win pace. I think that's
nice. Yeah, it was. It was 118 because AJ Pollock hit one early and then he hit one late. So yeah, 118 on the year. What a weird year.
Well, we're gonna have no Dodgers rewind because Eric's lazy. Not like this is a busy time of the year for you.
Yeah.
But we'll have live questions from Craig. But first, a trivia question written for me, but I think Craig should get a chance to answer it too.
Sure.
Right? Shouldn't he?
Yeah.
I think this so. Be
for, well, since he's going to ask us questions, it's only fair.
Yeah, right.
We ask him. So this is trivia for Jacob and Craig. This is from a friend of the site and True Blue LA comment section, Mary Whitfield. So the Dodgers, they didn't get shut out at all this season. All 60 games, they scored at least one run every game. Her question was, have the Dodgers had other 60-game stretches without getting shut out? Yes. The current streak, in fact, dates back to last year, and it's 72 games. For Jacob and Craig, what is the Dodgers' record for consecutive games not getting shut out? And then what is the Major League record? And you could... If you get it within 25 games, I consider that a win.
All right. We're going to answer that and have questions from Craig after this. Have the Dodgers had any other 60-game stretches without getting shut out? They have. What is the record for the Dodgers, and what is the Major League record?
Yeah, I will tell you that just as a hint, the Dodgers do not have the Major League record.
That's a terrible hint. I mean, if they had, you would have relished that.
But let's focus on the Dodger part first. So,
all right.
The Dodgers are currently at 72. I'll give you another hint. Dating back to 1901, there are 16 streaks longer.
Wow. What number do I like? Do you have a guess, Craig?
I do. I want to say... I do you want me just to go ahead? I want to say it's like 95, and I think it was last year.
I am going to guess 118.
Going to the Lou Brock number. I like it. I guess that was technically... Wait, that was the Ricky Henderson number, because whatever, I forget. Okay, so Craig, you were very close. So last year, the Dodgers did have a streak of 96 straight games without getting shut out. However, there were two longer streaks, both in Brooklyn. One was completely within the 1948 season. One was stretched from 1951 to 1952. Craig, your guess, or excuse me, Jacob, your guess was 118.
Yep.
The actual number is 99. So that's the Dodgers streak. For the Major League streak, I will tell you, you have to get within 25. Now, the hint I will give you to make it a little easier, the record is at least double. It's more than double the Dodgers record.
All right. That's a lot.
Is it just a number, or are we guessing the team too?
If it's bonus, if you want to guess team, it's bonus. As long as you get within 25 of the number record, that's fine too.
237 Murderers Row.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess.
I'll stick with the Yankees around 215.
So you said 215, Craig. Jacob, you said 237?
Yep.
You both got the team right, the franchise right. It's the Yankees from 1931 to 1933, almost exactly 2 years, 308 games. Yeah, that's crazy. So, yeah.
So the Dodgers are on their way.
Yep, exactly. So last year they ended the streak in September, and about a week later they started the current streak. It wasn't – there were a couple shutouts in between, but, like, they're basically there. So let's just count all of next season. So they're basically at, 234 going into 2021. Yeah, no, who knows? But, yeah, that's an impressive record.
And just right after Murderers Row 2, I couldn't even. I would have felt a little bit better had been that. We're close. I'm close. Some of that is there. So, all right, is it time for?
I believe it is time for.
All right. We got to do the theme song first. So it's
with Gene and Craig. We love them.
I was about to say five questions from our friend Craig. Craig, is it five questions, or do you have more for us?
It is. It is five questions. Okay. There's no part. There's no parts to these. So it's five. So the first question, going into today's season finale, Justin Turner is one of three Los Angeles Dodgers with at least a .382 on base percentage and a minimum of 3,000 plate appearances. Can you, Eric, and Jacob name the other two players? A hint: Justin Turner has played more games. He's now played 796 than the other two players. So these are not long-time Dodgers.
that threw me off a little bit.
I did too. I'm like, okay, let's start thinking about the long-time Dodgers. I'm like, oh no.
So, yeah, okay, wow, this is bad. So I was going to just instinctively go Pedro Guerrero, but he doesn't – his game total is disqualifies him.
Guerrero, I will tell you, Pedro Guerrero his on-base percentage is .381.
Okay.
So actually he would have qualified, but he's just outside.
And then the other, like, sort of go-to for these is Gary Sheffield, but he doesn't have 3,000 plate appearances.
How many does he have? Because that was my first guess.
It's probably like 22 something, okay. Something like that. That's my guess. So let's see. Piazza had five foolish seasons, so I don't think he even got to 3,000.
Is this LA? Also, and
he's
Brooklyn?
Like 377.
This is just Los Angeles.
Just LA. Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see.
So, that you were guessing all these LA players.
Yeah. This is bugging me really badly. So 91 to this. I'm going to guess Brett Butler and then defer to Jacob for a second as I try to think of the second one.
Is Brett Butler right?
Brett Butler is right. In fact, he is the leader with a .392 on base percentage.
Nice.
I'm going to go another sort of default long-ish but not super long-term Dodger and say Sean Green.
It is not Sean Green.
Okay. Give me. I'm going to try one more thing here. Oh man, who had 3,000 plate appearances?
Let me correct myself. Brett Butler is behind the leader. He has a .392. The other player is at .394.
Oh man, this is rough. This is really bugging me. That it's someone. Oh, 3,000. No, he wouldn't have played enough.
I'm tapping out.
Yeah, honestly,
Eric, your instincts were right.
He did
reach barely over 3,000 plate appearances. It is Mike Piazza with 3,000 and 17 plate appearances with a .394 on base percentage.
Did he hit? Wait, okay, this is gonna be bad. Did he hit 331?
I don't have his numbers up here.
Okay, I'm mad. I'm mad right now. So okay, no, that's good.
Okay. This is question number two. Is Mizzou Twin designated hitter for the most part Nelson Cruz going to set a record for the largest contract a 40-year-old free agent will sign as he is a free agent going into the 2021 season?
Wait, what's the current record? Is it Barry Jones? So, you don't have to tell us if that's part of the trick.
I don't know, actually. This is more conversational. Like, do you think he's going to sign like a super big contract next
year? Yeah, I was trying to think. So, like, I think one of those later years, like Roger Clemens did the 1 year, like $22 million, but it was like prorated.
Right.
So, like, I could see. The free agent market is so screwed. But, like, even last year, Jose Abreu signed a pretty good deal with the White Sox. So Nelson Cruz isn't going to get a longer deal, but he could probably get, like, a 2-year nice deal. So, like, what? Like, 36? Something like that? That seems, like, around right for me. But honestly, like, I have no idea what's going
to
happen.
I would think so, because I'm trying to think of the fact that neither of us can think of like the pinpoint. Oh yeah, that really big contract, a 40-plus-year-old sign, makes me think that he's got a really good shot of getting it.
You know, he did finish with a .992 OPS and 16 home runs in this abbreviated season, so he could still swing a bat.
Yeah, and then you figure like. Last I checked, the Dodgers' cap number for Mookie Betts is only $25 million, so they probably will have a DH next year. Like, obviously, they still have to like work it in, but like, might as well why not just add him to the mix? Who knows?
Okay, we have the first round starting. I know there's a preview later this week. This is not asking for predictions; just asking for this. Will it be more 2-game sweeps, or will we see more 3-game tussles?
So, I am rooting for every American League series to go 3 games, because then we get two days of 8 games. So, Wednesday is an 8-game day because it's every game 2 for the AL and every game 1 for the NL, and then Thursday is every game 2 for the NL, and then whatever AL series are still going. I think there will be 3 sweeps and then 5 will go 3 games. That's my guess.
I'm going to go 4-4.
All right.
A nice solid mix. I was going to go 5 sweeps, but I've tempered.
Yep. You Price is Righted me on that.
Yeah,
one.
Just a little bit.
Most likely rule change just stick in 2021, and I apologize. Oh, this could be a question I've asked before. Designated hitter, three batter minimum, or the runner on second in extra innings? I guess
this was actually a thing I forgot to bring it up. I'm glad this is a question because I wanted to talk this up, and I kind of like wanted to rank them. And there's like two ways to talk about it, right? Do we want on to next season, or do we want to do makes it through the CBA?
Well, that's the same. Oh, you mean like into the next one?
Yeah.
Okay, so like
with the long term
news. Craig, what was the third one? What was the third?
Extra inning rule. Yeah.
So we have three batter minimum, DH, and extra inning rule. Those are the three.
Yes.
Okay. I in my head, I'm thinking, like the three batter minimum was like something that the competition committee like voted in before any of this nonsense started. So like that's a thing that is just there.
Yeah,
I think so. I think that's like literally technically the most likely to stay. However, like there's no who really knows what's going to happen in what. 6 months from now when the season's almost going to start again, like where the country is with the virus, where it like there's still going to be like some level of protocols, even if it's like,
and that's why I was kind of talking like I'm going to rank these thinking long term, like once it's not a matter of time but just a matter of what they want the sort of sport to look like going forward.
Yeah, so I still think the three batter minimum will probably stick around, but if you had to like rank them, I think the DH is here to stay, like stay. And I think the extra inning rule is the one. There's enough opposition to it that I don't think they would include it going forward, or least likely to.
I'm going to add a fourth to this and ask you to put that in your framework. The extended playoffs. And that gets a little complicated, I realize, because I am suspicious that exactly what we're doing here will ever come up again. But could it be 16 teams? I think that could happen.
I think I would say almost certainly next season we'll have more teams than last year.
Sure.
And they'll work it out like this off season. And what obviously the owners would want it because it means that's where the bulk of the revenue is, TV revenue. And the players would want it because whatever they're able to negotiate to add the stuff. So, like, in terms of guaranteeing, because you don't know, who knows, a year from now there might be fans in the stands and an actual postseason gate, but they want to guarantee themselves a certain level of revenue or increased revenue. So I think that's why they'll vote it in. But I think there has to be protections over, like, actual rewards for winning the division or being have the number one record, because this year there's really none. So they have to fix that part of it. But I think there will be expanded playoffs next year and going forward.
Okay, go ahead.
Just to feed off, and I know this will probably be part of your. I'm assuming they're previously going to talk more about the roster construction and stuff like that before it happens. But just, Eric, did you notice in the games you watched, was there any strategy you saw Dave Roberts and Mark Pryor do with their usage of, like, the left-handed pitchers and what would normally be, like, that situation this year?
Kolarik was, like, the guy I think they were trying to protect the most early. Or he pitched a couple mop-up games or whatever where he did more long relief. But he was the guy that I think they were most worried about. Facing righties, so they would bring him in. They would do this thing where they would bring him in or bring in a lefty with one out in an inning, and then so they would face hopefully two batters and maybe three. That's about it. They didn't seem to like really be all that. They weren't like avoiding it. It was just kind of weird. I'm not really sure.
And also, I think the 28-man roster does kind of alleviate some of this stuff too, or it makes it
yeah
makes it a little less of a thing. I'm sorry. go ahead. Okay, question number five. Name a cooking tool that you'd like to try but frightens you a bit. For me, it's an actual pressure cooker. It's closed and you don't know what's going to happen to it. I've looked at the Instapots. I'm not really kind of dialed into one of those as yet. Is there anything for you you and Jacob that fall into this category?
A sous vide machine was my answer to this, but then we got one for our wedding, and now it's probably our most used kitchen gadget. So I'm trying to think if there's an existent. We don't have an Instapot, and so that may be on the list. That's less due to fear and more due to we kind of have our slow cook recipes down in a crock pot, so we haven't felt the need to speed things up because we're already kind of used to it. But I'm trying to think if there's any other. What about you, Eric?
I was going to say on the Instant Pot, I don't have a regular crock pot at the moment. And I've used the Instant Pot as a slower crock potty style, and it works just fine. I love it. For me, though, I think it's probably like a pasta maker. Mm. And by that, I mean hiring a gentleman named Enzo, and he comes over. I think a pasta maker, like something to like just play in that area. Never really done any of that stuff.
So similar. I'll throw stand mixer into the mix. I'm a little intimidated by it, but just how efficient they seem and how big and automatic and I don't do enough baking to have demanded one, but Melissa's doing more and more. Mm-hmm. So maybe that'll enter the equation at some point.
I don't have a stand mixer, and it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I think it would be cool to have that. I'm not going to go out of my way to get it right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What about you? Already answered, Craig. Do you have any others on your list other than the Instapot?
I do have a stand mixer. A pasta attachment has been something that would be interesting to me. I think the other thing would be like a really good blender. Mm-hmm. The Vitamix is another thing that I've used in other places, but again, it's one of those things, like if you get it, I feel like then, you know, I'm going to have to up my smoothie game or something, or soup game, to kind of make it seem like worth the purchase of that thing.
I'm hungry for baked goods. This always happens. So
wait, I just realized that was a food question. Was that the last one?
That was the last one.
Wow. Well, Craig, thank you so much for coming on. This was awesome doing Questions from Craig live. And thanks for doing that. We, Jacob and I, will be back very soon.
In less than 24 hours, probably, from our perspective.
Before the wild card round begins, Dodgers Brewers, we'll have a preview. But yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. It's been a fun season so far, and we'll keep pumping these podcasts out as long as the Dodgers are still alive. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you in a couple days.